We're joined by Odyssey MLB Insider Bob Nightingale. Insider calls are presented by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Bob, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for jumping on today.
Yeah, sure, man. My pleasure, Mitch.
Absolutely. So let's jump right in. You got an article, like, talk about perfect timing. I don't know if we did this on purpose or if this just was serendipity, but you've got an article up at USA Today right now, posted this morning. Milwaukee Brewers are an island of misfit toys and MLB's hottest team. I get the reference. I think a lot of our listeners get the reference, but I'm guessing for the younger generation, when you tell people that they're the island of misfit toys, what do you mean by that, Bob?
Well, what it is just a just from the pitching coach, Kershuk, and it's just, you know, hey, these guys are cast-offs. They've been released. They've been DFA'd, and they're considered misfits in loving terms. In a just a fun group to be around. And what makes them, you know, so together is that they all have similar backgrounds. That they were misfits, you know, that they didn't come up to the organization. They were someone's discarded players and other gems for the Brewers.
You know, I think it's interesting. Of course, we have you on the day after that they lose their 11 game winning streak and lose last night 1-0 in Seattle. But still, a you know, I guess in baseball terms, it was a well played game. Mizorowski pitches well again, even though it's a shorter outing. But kind of from afar, what, you know, you're watching these Brewers and it, like, we all think they're having fun. It seems like from your article, like, people nationally can kind of get that feeling as well. But what is it like? What does this team look like from afar?
Well, just like, you know, nobody knows them. They're so anonymous. I think when they, Pat Murphy said, you know, over the weekend in L.A., then when I talked the other day, is that, you know, hey, the people in Japan, a lot of Japanese reporters in Los Angeles, got the Dodgers, couldn't name, you know, five players from Brewers. And I told Pat, I don't think, you know, people in the United States can name five players from Brewers outside, you know, city Milwaukee. It's just a fun group because nobody expected anything when they started off 0-4. Outscored by 32 runs, the worst start in baseball history.
Yep.
Still four games under 500 in May. And then, you know, be sitting there tied with the Cubs with the best record in all of baseball is mind-boggling.
Yeah, and I think that's like, you know, you mentioned it, that opening series in New York was just such a debacle. And I don't think Brewers fans were ready to write off the season after three games or four games when they lost the next game too. But it didn't sit well. And then even at 21-25, I think we still thought the Brewers were better than 21-25. But I don't know that even the most ardent Brewers fan thought that this could be a team with the best record in baseball. You know, how does a team like the Brewers even achieve that? With the way the salary cap works and the way, you know, you look at the Mets and you look at the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Red Sox and even the Cubs with these salaries. And then how does a team like the Brewers achieve that?
Yeah, I mean, no salary cap. So, I mean, a team like the Dodgers, you know, they're going to spend more money just on luxury tax penalties this year than the Brewers' entire payroll. You know, Brewers' payroll is about 124, 24th in baseball. And, you know, we haven't had a small market team win the World Series since the Kansas City Royals in 2015. It's just so rare. And, but yeah, it's almost like a college atmosphere. But, you know, when you say that to Matt Arnold, he goes, well, we're more like a junior college atmosphere. Just, you know, guys playing hard, playing the game the right way. You know, if you don't, Pat Murphy's going to pull you from the lineup. But it's kind of that college thing where guys are, you know, playing for each other rather than just putting up, you know, monster stats and hitting money in free agency or salary arbitration.
Yeah, and I think you're absolutely right. And so the Brewers have been doing this year after year, right? Whether it was Council before Murphy and now Murphy, yeah. The Brewers have been competing. I mean, I was at the NLCS in 2018. We were all there in 19 when things were going great and then Yelich got hurt. But year after year, the Brewers have been making the playoffs, not having success in the playoffs, but making the playoffs. What can other small market teams learn from what the Brewers are doing and how the Brewers do business?
Well, they're doing things the smart way. I mean, they keep these secrets in a thing called the keg, but they certainly identify players that can be successful better than anybody else. Nobody develops players or pitchers who say develops pitchers better than the Brewers. They always come up with their pitching. And here's teams, starving for pitching, paying, $300 million for pitchers, and the Brewers just, they churn them out. So, they got a great system working that other teams don't. The only other team close to this would be, very similar would be Tampa Bay Rays, payroll, yep. And mm-hmm. They're in the playoffs almost every year.
Bob Nightingale joining us on the Mason Crosby Show, presented by Verizon. Insider calls, Odyssey Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Jacob Mizorowski pitches last night. He goes 3 2/3. I don't know if he's taking the baseball world by storm. He's certainly taking Milwaukee by storm. He did pitch in the All-Star game, but also on an innings count and on a pitch count, and that's one of the reasons he came out of the game last night. What excites you about Jacob Mizorowski, and having made the All-Star game, are people nationally watching him a little bit more? Are people annoyed that he made it after five starts? What are people thinking about Mizorowski?
Well, they love watching him. I mean, he doesn't get that publicity like Paul Skenes did a year ago when he came up with the Pirates. Assuming there's a lot more hype with Skenes. And that's probably too because he was the first pick in the draft and everything else. He was a kid who came from the Air Force Academy. They went to LSU. So it was kind of a bigger buildup. But Mizorowski just, throwing that hard, that many pitches. He's already thrown like 340 pitches over 101 miles an hour. And so it's starting to get more attention. I think his name got known for the All-Star game. There was some resentment originally from some veterans. Then they kind of backed off when they realized, hey, there's about 11 or 12 players that backed out of the All-Star game. They didn't want to pitch.
Yeah.
So when it came down to it, it's okay. MLB said, do you want Mizorowski? Do you want Emilio Pagan from Cincinnati? Do you want Libertor from St. Louis? It was clear that Mizorowski was the right pick. And he did well, which bodes well for the Brewers if he, pitches in the postseason games, where I think people thought he might get unnerved and, that sort of thing, but kept his composure very well.
We talk about Jacob Mizorowski, and, if you look at some of the betting odds, he's already the favorite to win the National League Rookie of the Year. That might also speak to that there's not a great crop of rookies this year, except for the catcher in Atlanta. But we think about last year's rookie, Jackson Chourio, and, before this season started, yes, we all knew about Mizorowski and we were excited for him, but there was real excitement about Jackson Chourio following last year. And I think that excitement's still there. He hasn't exploded the way some people maybe expected him to, but he still had a very, very solid year. It's easy. It's funny how easy it is, though, to forget, Mizorowski's here. We forgot about Chourio. I'd love to hear your thoughts on Jackson Chourio and how good you think a player like that can be.
Yeah, it's almost like, what have you done for me lately? Who's the next big young guy? And, he's still 21 years old or so. And sometimes it takes time. Julio Rodriguez, people in Seattle say, how come he hasn't turned that star yet? Mm-hmm. It takes time. Pitchers adjust to you. You got to adjust back. It used to be, hey, Jackson Holliday. What's he going to do? He took a step back, and now he's performing. So a lot of it just, takes time. You're not going to just overnight be one of the best players in baseball and then just keeping that up where there's going to be some, highs and lows. I think that's what's happened with Chourio. It certainly has happened with the all the young players, whether O'Neill Cruz of Pittsburgh, Ilya De La Cruz of Cincinnati,
sure.
West Rodriguez.
Yep. You have a quote in your article. Again, Bob Nightingale joining us here, and excited to have him here on the Mason Crosby Show. He's on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. You have a quote here from Pat Murphy that says, "We're the little engine that could. We have a lot of heart. These guys are hungry, and it's hard to be hungry when you're full." Is there any fear that now that the Brewers have the best record in Major League Baseball or are tied for it or whatever, you know, and going forward over the next 60 games, we'll be battling for that moniker. Is there any worry that they could get full? You know, that they're not the hunter anymore. They're the hunted because of how well they've played over the past month.
I don't think so. I mean, I don't think, Pat Murphy or Matt Arnold and the GM, anybody will let these teams or let these players get satisfied or fool themselves. I don't think that's going to happen. It's not like they're, coming off a World Series championship or anything like that. I think they all still feel that sting of last year, going out the way they did against the Mets. And I think just kind of, hungering the sense to, okay, last year wasn't a fluke. We're going to get past that first round and get people excited about, possibly playing in late October.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's what Brewers fans are really yearning for. We've seen a number of years, they lost in the first round to the Braves, then they lost in the first round to the Diamondbacks. And then last year it looked like the Brewers were going to get over that hump. They had the Mets down. And of course, Pete Alonso's heroics off of Devin Williams are very well known about here in Milwaukee and some heartbreak with that series. What do the Brewers need to do? We talk a lot about Eugenio Suarez because, as you mentioned in your article, they have their team. They're the little engine that could. They have some decent speed. There's not a lot of pop with this team, that's for sure. Do they need to make a trade for a 30 home run a year guy? Do they need to make a deal for the middle of this lineup if they really want to go far in October?
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, it's not a gaping hole. I mean, it's certainly still getting production doing that way. I mean, Suarez can be streaky. Whoever trades from Suarez, I mean, he could go 3 weeks in a huge slump. It's not like he's a 350 hitter. This is a guy that was almost released a year ago. He was probably 24 hours from being designated for assignment and then kind of took off. But I think the bidding for Suarez would be so high that, why waste your bolts for a guy like that? I think if the Brewers are going to make some improvements, probably add on to the bullpen, maybe get some pieces there, which a lot of teams want.
Sure.
Maybe get a big bat, but not like Suarez. Like I said, I mean, he could be a difference maker. It could be, struggling, from the get-go. Just he's that kind of streaky of a hitter.
Yeah, and we've seen that with him because of the time he spent with the Reds. And watching him, but I will tell you, Bob, there are numerous Brewers fans who are all in on Suarez, who just think like he's going to come in and he could make the difference. And like you said, like he could make the difference. He's at 36 home runs. If he ends the season with 50 home runs, whatever team gets him is going to get a pretty good August and September, and then hopefully into October. But then the bidding war between the Yankees, the Mariners, the Cubs, potentially. The only thing I'd say about that is that the Brewers they have so many players in their farm system that they could use, but in a way that goes against how the Brewers have built and become the Brewers. They don't want to get rid of their young players, right?
Yeah, nobody does. It's not like they have to have them. I just think the price tag for Suarez is going to be too steep. Yankees are desperate for him. The Mets have strong interest. The Blue Jays. Seattle's got a deep, really deep farm system. They want him back after giving him away. So I don't think they want to compete in those waters where it's going to be such a – you're only talking about a rental, too. So unless you're really planning to give him, over $100 million in the offseason to keep him as a free agent, by the Brewers, I don't invest that kind of minor league prospects to go get him now just because I can't see him staying – in 2026.
Odyssey Insider Calls are brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional grade product you need delivered when and where you need them. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. One other thing I loved about your article, Bob, is like you mentioned Isaac Collins and Caleb Durbin and Quinn Priester. And I think, like, as good as these guys have played this year, the rest of Major League Baseball has still got to be scratching their heads and saying, who the heck are? I mean, the first game out of the All-Star break, the Brewers are at the Dodgers. The Dodgers just got swept by the Brewers in Milwaukee. They've got to be wanting some revenge. Tyler Glasnow is on the mound, and Quinn Priester pitches a gem. Like, the rest of Major League Baseball has got to be saying, How does this happen that the Brewers get these guys nobody's heard of before, and they're not only performing, but they're performing at this level, at the major league level?
Yeah, particularly talking about, I mean, here's the Pirates who had them. You know, the Pirates are that good they can afford to give them away. There's two ex-Rockies on there. Rockies are, you know, could set the all-time record for losses.
Sure.
How are you losing guys? Kudos to the Brewers staff. You say, you know what, when you see a guy like Priester who got traded to Boston, like, hey, we believe in this guy. We think he can be a stud here. And sure enough, they've turned him around. So they do this with guys, Durbin, and on is like they very good scouts and analytic people that say, you know what, we like this guy under the radar. It's kind of what the Oakland A's used to do back in the day, is, you know, with the old Moneyball thing, sure. Very similar.
Bob Nightingale joining us here on the Mason Crosby Show with me, Mitch Thunder Nellis. All right, Bob, let's get to brass tacks. We get to October. What do you expect to see from this Milwaukee Brewers team? Let's remember, you're on the air in Milwaukee, so there's a very biased fan base that's listening right now.
No, a few years ago when they reached the playoffs, you're right, for the playoffs, I picked them to win it all. And then I think that's when Devin Williams hurt his hand.
Yep.
And, and then what was it, 2 years ago, Woodruff,
like the night before the playoffs started, we found out Woodruff was out.
Yeah. So that sort of thing. So I think I said to, Mark Antanasio, hey, I won't pick you guys again. I'm not trying to be a jinx. But that being said, there's no reason why they have as good chance as anybody, to get to the World Series. In the sense, they have that pitching, that dominant pitching, and that's what gets you to the playoffs. Gets you to World Series. It's not the offense. Offenses tend to get shut down, during October, but the pitching is the one that stands out. So yeah, if the bullpen can withstand it, McGill and the starters they have, love the fact that Woodruff now has a fresh arm.
Yeah,
doesn't have all those innings on it. So he has good chances as anybody. Can they do it? Who knows? It's such a crapshoot. I think it's going to be fascinating, even though it's in August, just with all those games against the Cubs. I wish those games were September. Make it even more dramatic. But still,
It's still a five-game series at Wrigley in late August, so that should be a blast.
Yeah, and I think the Brewers are still fired up over that. Remember, the game was rained out.
We still talk about that. It was sunny. It was sunny in 75, and the Cubs called a rain out. We still talk about that game here in Milwaukee and how scared the Cubs are of the Brewers. Absolutely. Well, Bob, thank you so much for taking some time this morning. Hopefully, we can do it again as we get closer to the playoffs. And I'll do it. I'll schedule it not for a Wednesday, so Mason can be a part of it as well, and you and Mason can maybe talk a little football. I don't know if you even talk football at all, but Mason's always looking to talk football, so we can do that.
All right, sounds great. All right, thanks so much, Mitch.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bob. That was awesome. Bob Nightingale, he's our Odyssey MLB insider for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers the professional-grade products you need delivered when and where you need them. Call CrickGrainger.com or just stop by. Thanks to Bob Nightingale for joining us on the Fan Guest Hotline, powered by Gruber Law. One call, that's all.